Today, let's just take our Bibles and turn to the book of Nehemiah. I know that there has been a theme recently about worship, and worship is such an important part of a Christian's life. It's vital for our spiritual growth and spiritual health. And worship is not just to praise the Lord, but worship does something for us that God does as we worship Him. And we want to look at that this morning. But let's bow before we go into the Word of God and ask God to just take these efforts and multiply them and breathe His Spirit upon them. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege today to come before You. And Lord, today as we consider how worship prepares us for service, we ask, Lord, that You would just touch our hearts with the Word, stir us, and then, Lord, would You even just strengthen us very much as we bring Your Word. But then, Lord, for each of us, as we leave this place today, may we see fruit for the labor. And, Lord, may You touch lives and use us for Your glory. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. As we think about the worship of God, and of course we've had our call to worship and our scripture reading and so forth this morning, and that touches our hearts and gets us in the sense of worship, which we hope that it will be a blessing to each one of us. But I think about how in the book of Nehemiah we see one man that spent some special time with the Lord. Now, worship of God takes on several aspects of our lives. Of course, we want to praise Him. We will find that Nehemiah does that. We will find that we need to rehearse in our mind and in our heart and in our spirit the things that God does and has done for us. And Nehemiah shows us that. And we know that there is a change that is brought within us as we worship. And we can be used of God to be a benefit to not only ourselves, our families, our extended family, the church, congregation, local, and we can be used of God in an expanded relationship beyond that. And it comes in part from the worship of God. Someone that is going to be an effective soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ has a necessity to have that relationship of worship in the Lord Jesus Christ, and worship from the Word of God. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and applies it to the heart of man, and man can be what God wants him to be. And by that word man, I mean humankind. I'm not gender biased on that. But we see that there is something here for us to see. And in Nehemiah chapter 1, I want to look through several spots of Nehemiah. I hope that you don't get overloaded maybe with reading some of the scripture today, but it connects us to several things that are vital. And so let's, as we turn to Nehemiah, begin in chapter 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Shislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. Now that's not what Nehemiah would like to hear. But he wanted the truth. And I'm so thankful that the Word of God records the truth as was given to them, but it also is the truth of God for you and me today. And here is the truth. He said, they're not doing well. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Those are disappointing items. And verse 4 says, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. He came into the presence of God on purpose. And I trust today that as we have come to this service, that we have come to worship the Lord, not just out of habit, although that's good, but we have come on purpose because God has prepared a message to be brought by a messenger from the Word of God that can be applied to your heart. And the wonderful thing about it, of the various ones of us that are here today, every one of us can get a blessing that may be just a little bit different from the one seated here and the one seated here. There can be individual applications of the Word of God for you as the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and touches that part of your life where it's needed. I am so glad that God is not only a God of the world, but He's a God of the individual. Amen. And He knows what I need, He knows what you need, and when I preach, I'm preaching to a mirror, so to speak, out here, and I want to hear what God has for me too. We see that He said, I came before the God of heaven. And when we want to have effective worship, we must be doing spiritual business with the God of heaven that has created us. Amen? We need to have that purposeful contact with God. We look on in verse 5, and He said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments. Can you hear the plea in His voice in verse 6? Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. One of the ways for worship to be effective is when we come to God as we are, to God as He is. And this is what Nehemiah is doing here. He said, we have sinned. Both I and my father's house have sinned. Whom have we sinned against? Against thee, O God. And he comes in that humble, realistic spirit. The Word of God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And here we see that same application back in the Old Testament. I'm so glad that the Old Testament and New Testament dovetail together. It's not two Bibles, it's one Bible containing an Old and a New Testament. But we see here that he comes with that great spirit. He is now on praying ground. And for worship to be effective, we need to get on praying ground. Praying ground is actually being on talking terms with God with open communication, isn't it? And that's where our worship needs to be. That's how it needs to be when we come before the Lord. And so Nehemiah is there, and he's worshiping God. He's on praying ground now, and he's having personal conversation with God. And then we look in verse 7 yet. I want to continue a few verses here. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept thy commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Beloved, please don't just hear my human voice today, but would you hear the tear in the voice of Nehemiah as he goes before Almighty God and he comes to worship him, but he is coming with heartfelt, emotional, spiritual confrontation with God. I don't mean that all of Christianity is just emotion, but there are times that we can have heavy emotions as we come before God. What a God we have. He has made us to respond to Him, and He responds to us. Verse 8, remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if he transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, to the prayer of thy servants. He starts out to begin with personally, then he expands it. For he knows that there are some others that have been touched by the Lord. And he knows that there are some people that are out there besides himself. He said, thy servant and the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. What was it? They desired to fear the name of God. We desire today to come and to worship him, to fear his name, to bow down before him. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Now he's talking about the king in whose presence he's in. He says, for I was the king's cupbearer. There's something unfolding in Nehemiah's life here that's very, very interesting. He has had his heart broken for the remnant that was left. He has had his heart broken for Jerusalem. He has had his heart broken for the wickedness. He has come before the Lord and he has worshiped God. He has confessed his sin. He has confessed the national sins. He has prayed for those that are over him. He has brought the need out before God. And now, his heart, having been touched in worship, has been prepared to serve. And that's the context of this message today. Worship prepares us to serve. What now takes place in Nehemiah's life is a direct result of the initial worship that came in the first few verses. And we do our best service for God when we've been worshiping God regularly. And when we have had occasion to spend time before God with a heart that is touched, a heart that is broken. I don't really like having my heart broken that much. It's happened a few times in my life, more than a few. It's not one of my favorite things, but I can tell you this, it's one of the most productive things that occurs in my life. Nothing draws us to God like a broken heart, when we can go to God when none else will listen. When all we have is God, we have enough. And so, that's where he is. He's coming before the king. Now, he was accustomed to being before the king. He was the king's cupbearer. It was his responsibility to protect the life of the king against those that would wish to poison him. And he put his life on the line every time that the king was going to put something to his lips and drink it. Nothing that the king took in for liquid went past his lips without first being tested by the cupbearer. And so he was going on an important mission. Though he was familiar with the king, he was reverential to him. He was respectful to him. And as difficult as that may seem, even in our day, beloved, there's a pattern here that's given. Pray for those that are over you. We have to respect that office and hold them up before the Lord. And the best thing that we can do for those that are over us is keep them before the throne of grace. Amen? Pray for them. He said, I was the king's cupbearer. Well, then we look and it tells us when this next event starts to take place. And it came to chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now it had not been before time, I had not been before time sad in his presence. He did not want to burden the officials with his personal problem. You follow me? He was letting his service to the king be service to the king. He was fulfilling his responsibility. But now, since his special worshipful experience with God, his countenance is still heavy because his heart has been so burdened by the remnant that was left of his people and what had happened to Jerusalem. And he just couldn't hide it. Wherefore the king said unto me, verse 2, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. There's no arrogance here. Worshiping God had humbled him. He had been broken in spirit and in heart for the situation of his people. And now he comes very, very humbly. And in verse 2, the last sentence says, I was very sore afraid. His knees were knocking. His breath probably came in shorter bursts. And that king was sensitive to his worker. He knew what was happening. He said, this is something of the heart. This is sorrow of heart. And I said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? He spells out with boldness, because of his worship experience, exactly what's on his heart and exactly what it is that's burdened him. And God has directed Nehemiah, because of his experience in worship, to take this burden before the king. God knows just exactly how to work in our lives and work in other people's lives to accomplish the purpose of God, even when we can't comprehend how it's going to happen aforetime. God knows how to do that. And I believe that God has already been working on the heart of this king to soften it up. And when Nehemiah comes before him, the king says unto him in verse 4, for what dost thou make request? So the king has just given him an audience and says, what's on your heart? What do you want to ask of the king? Now, folks, I don't know about you, and I'm not concerned about who's in the occupant of the Oval Office in the White House, but if I got called to the White House, I'd be one nervous fella, because I respect that office, the awesome responsibility of that position. He said in verse 4, so I prayed to the God of heaven. Now, folks, that maybe doesn't sound so profound. I read it a little lightheartedly. But here he is, he's coming up to him, and sometimes we say, well, this happened, and this happened. Well, what'd you do? Well, so I prayed. No, it's not just a casual so here. There are several times that we'll see the word so. And I want us to think through some of these. He said, so I prayed to the God of heaven. What happens right off to begin with is that Nehemiah sandwiches the request to the king and his answer to the king in prayer. Do you believe that Nehemiah could have been so effective had he not had a time of worship with God to prepare his heart to go into the audience of the king? When I was a kid in school, I got summoned to the principal's office one time. I was in the seventh grade. Boy, what an age of mixed up emotions for a young man. And it was difficult in a lot of ways because I was in trouble. But it was also difficult because the first year that the principal was there, my father was graduating from the same high school. And he had known the Barton family for a long time. My dad was rascally enough, but what my dad was on regular things, I was on steroids. I was a rascal. And I remember walking to that office, and the teacher had handed a note that she had written to me, and she said, "You give this to the principal." There wasn't a overconfident bone in my body. The closer I got to that office, the more I wanted to turn into wilted lettuce. And here is why Nehemiah has come. And he said, "So I prayed. So I prayed." And his prayer wasn't flowery and long. He didn't have long seconds. But I want to reassure us, when we've been worshiping the God properly, even a quick, short prayer is absolutely on target. God knows just how to do it. And he says unto the king, "If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it." Wow! Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I have an idea there's a lot of leaders in business and in government and other places today that if somebody came in with a request like this, there would be a dropped jaw and they'd say, "You want what?" But remember, Nehemiah had spent some special time in worship because he had a big request. His heart was broken. And beloved, you and I in our lifetimes will come across times in our life when things are bigger than we are by a large sum. And we'll need help. And we better get prayed up. We better be worshiped up. Because worship prepares for service. God is so good. And so, in verse 6, it says, "The king said unto me," the queen was also sitting by, "How long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return?" And obviously he gave him an answer. There's that question, but then there's this statement. Notice, here's another "so." "So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time." There's a lot happening in that without a whole lot of written word. But first of all, it was the "so I prayed." Now, it is the "so of the king's pleasure." And it all comes by the hand of God because Nehemiah got in the right spirit of worship to begin with before this episode all unfolded. And so here's the "so of pleasure." And worship not only prepared Nehemiah, but it prepared the king to present acceptable favor unto Nehemiah's request. And it came from the right worship. Isn't God a remarkable God? What a God we serve. So, now Nehemiah was respectful and faithful. And thus the king listened and he considered that big request. What a request it was. And then we find out in the next verses that he not only has the king saying that he agrees to it, but then Nehemiah asked the king in verse 7 if he could just give him some letters to the people that he's going to need to do some business with to get it. And not only did the king comply with saying, I'll give letters to the forest manager and I'll give letters to others that you need, but I'm going to send some people with you to help you, to keep you safe. I'm going to provide things that you need. And he said, they're going to take you to where you have to go. He said, we're going to give you timber, verse 8. We're going to do a lot of things here. And verse 8 says, and the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. What does that go back to? His worship. The good hand of his God was upon him because he had worshiped. It's so important that we get to the Lord's house to worship. Well, there's a lot of other things that happen there, but I want to drop down to verse 11. He goes and he gets there, and in verse 11 it says, "So I came to Jerusalem, and I was there 3 days." Here is the so of the initial purpose. What was his purpose? To go and build the city back up. And so here he is. He's now at Jerusalem. And it's so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. He's getting familiar with the task. He's sizing up what the task is that God has sent him to do. And that's good for us today too. When God lays out a task, it's good to learn about the task, find out what it is God wants you to do, and what he has provided for you, what you've got to accomplish, who you're going to need to help on this, whoever. And in some people, it's the case of being the leader of the project, and in others, it's being the laborer under the leader. Both are equally important. Which part of your car is the most important, the steering wheel or the tires? You need them both. What's more important, drive or reverse? They're both. Beloved, this is a high time in the life of Nehemiah, and he is meeting the task because he worshiped, and he worshiped properly. What a God. Well, it says in verse 12, he arose in the night and he was sizing up the task that God had given him. And it gives us a lot of different things here, but I want to continue on in chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. He says, "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." He has gathered the people around him now. He is the godly leader because of his worship of God. And God has equipped his leadership. And he's now equipped Nehemiah with those that will carry out the work. And the purpose is told there that we be no more a reproach. And then in verse 18, "I told him of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, also as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build." I love it when people that you're responsible for, to give the vision of God to them, say, "We get it." In our 44 years of pastoring, there were some times that we had to lead the flock. And I don't know why, but I got in on 3 building programs in those times. That's not my favorite thing to do, but that's the way God did it. And I remember as a, can I use the word, cub pastor, first full-time ministry, took a church that was running 31 people, and they responded, God blessed. Oh, did God bless. And it was just a year from the time we went there, we were bursting at the seams. And we prayed much and met with the deacon board, and they decided that it would be a good thing if we would add on. And we said, oh my, how are we going to do that? I was green as grass as a preacher, pastor. And we prayed a lot and we studied a lot and we got the plans and so forth. And we took it to the congregation in a business meeting, made sure it was all that duly called and constitutionally right. You know how it is. And called someone, moved that we call the question on the project at hand. And clerk got the results back, and he smiled and he said, "It's unanimously approved." And he added these words, "Let's get at it." Wow. But listen, folks, this is where Nehemiah is. "So they strengthened their hands for this good work." That shows that they had a show of purpose. They said, "So, let's get busy." They participated. Well, we go up a little ways here, and I've got to continue on. In chapter 4, we find out here, it's It's so neat when God works on these things. If you look in chapter 4 of Nehemiah, verse 6, it says, "So built we the wall." Now, it's not routine, but it is routine that God supplied what he had ordered to be done. God never orders anything he can't pay for. Aren't you glad of that? By the way, take that kind of advice on your credit card. I'm serious. Get something on your credit card, pay it off next month. Sometimes you may have to go a few months, but don't let it drag on. But here, people, we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. The leader worshipped. The leader got with God. The leader went to the proper authorities, to the king. The king responded. The people responded. And in chapter 4, verse 6, "So we built the wall." Amen. Worship prepared him to serve, and worship will prepare the congregation to serve as well as the leader. So there's something here for everyone today. So far you may have thought that Brother Barton was just talking about the pastor. He's not here. But beloved, we're here, and we can respond, and we should respond. And so they did it. We find that we look on in chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed." They're getting tired. "And where there is much rubbish." There was. There was a lot of building going on. They had to take out a lot of junk. "So that we are not able to build a wall." Uh-oh. Here comes Doubting Thomas. But remember, worship had prepared Nehemiah. When he went before the people, he had prepared their hearts as he took them right to the Lord as well. And now they've gotten a little discouraged. "This man, there's just so much debris here. We can't do it. We're getting tired." Well, keep plodding. God will take care of it. Amen. Keep plodding. "We're not able to build. And our adversaries said they shall not know, neither see till we come into the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease." Said, now the enemies out there are sounding it about. They're going to stop us. I like his response. Look at verse 18 of chapter 4. "For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me." What was the trumpet for? It was to sound the alarm and to sound the order of what they were going to do. So they had debris, they had trouble, they had enemies. They had some that said, "Hey, if a fox runs up on this thing, it'll fall down." Don't you love it when people have such confidence in your leadership? But there he was. So he plodded on. And then the enemies came along and said, "Hey, we want to meet with you and talk about this." They were looking for an opportunity to destroy him. But he had worshipped, he had been in touch with God, he had prayed, he had gone to the king. You know the scenario by now. And so here they are. They're confronted with these mischief makers. They say, "Come on down, we want to talk to you." I like his sentence in verse 3 of chapter 6. "And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you?" And they did it 4 more times. And he didn't bite the bait. He wasn't distracted. And beloved, if we want to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, start out by worship. If you want your family to be strong, and if you want to raise your children and grandchildren properly, get with God in worship. Get in the Word. Get the direction of God, the will of God, the Spirit of God, and go do what it says. But the school says I can't do this, and the government says we can't do it this way and that way. Whoa, wait a minute. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Amen? Now you say, "But I don't want to go against somebody. I might lose some benefits." Folks, when man's law and God's law disagree, whose law supersedes? God. You say, "But man, that may be hard for me." Nehemiah thought it'd be hard too. And he found out it was. But when they came to him, he said, wait a minute. I'm going to keep on going. The cure for mischief makers is keep working. Keep doing what's right. Keep doing what's right. Well, I want to jump to chapter 6, verse 15. Remember, worship prepares for service. We've been looking for this verse. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, that they were much cast down in their own eyes. For they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. What we just hear, God came out on top. Isn't that amazing? Not really. It had started out with proper worship. It progressed with proper prayer. It continued with proper obedience. It continued with proper response to the leadership. We will rise up and build. They did it. People said it can't be done. They didn't let that stop them. And when the people said stop, we want to talk. Diplomacy has its place, but so does perseverance. And now it's finished. Amen. It's the so of completion. And it all began with proper worship. May God speak to our hearts that we would worship Him in spirit and in truth. And worship prepared the leader to serve. Proper leadership prepares the people to serve. And when the people serve, the living God accomplishes His desired purpose. Amen? Amen. There's a song. I'm going to ask Duane to put that up just for a minute. It's called, I Will Serve Thee Because I Love Thee. And would you look at those words a minute? And I think what I'm just going to do is use them to read, Duane. But the song that we can sing in 2015 picks up on the same theme that we've just seen with Nehemiah. I will serve thee because I love thee. What did Nehemiah say? I'll serve you because I love you. You have given life to me. That's what he said in Nehemiah chapter 1. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Let's look on. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. We have Jesus to look forward to. They were looking for Him to come. We look for Him having come, and He lives within us. Your touch is what I long for. It's what we need to. You've given life to me. Yes. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch is what I longed for. You've given life to me. Worship prepares us for service. It's a practical application to a very important event that we do. Today is not just another day. It's the Lord's day. It's the day to come and worship and to serve Him. May God add His blessing to the word today. And let us take it forth from here. In our preparation of worship today, we have several things to do yet. May we leave this place, and may God clearly speak to our heart. May we hear Him and answer Him as faithfully as Nehemiah. Heavenly Father, how we thank You today for Your word. And we thank You, Lord, for the way that You have blessed our lives so very much. And Lord, You used Nehemiah to accomplish something that no one else had come up with. You burdened his heart with it. He answered You. And Lord, because of his worship, he was able to accomplish it through Your strength. And Lord, Your word is the same today as it was then. Lord, use us for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.